W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Overnight protests around the country, mostly peaceful, following the release of video showing Memphis police brutally beating Tyre Nichols, who died 3 days later. Tennessee State Representative Joe Towns Jr. praising the peaceful demonstrations overnight and calling for more in Memphis and elsewhere.
Protesters protested, and what we're calling for today is the same thing that happened last night, the calm of the protest.
Five black police officers have been fired and face murder charges in Nichols' death. A mass shooting in Beverly Crest, California, north of Beverly Hills this morning has left seven shot, three dead. There have been no arrests. Reports of at least 166 people dying in a wave of cold weather sweeping Afghanistan. Federal prosecutors say that disgraced crypto executive Sam Bankman-Fried, facing charges of fraud and conspiracy after the collapse of his FTX crypto platform, has recently attempted to contact prospective witnesses in his criminal case. Prosecutors asked the judge to ban him from doing that. This is ABC News. In the wake of multiple water crises in recent years, including Flint, Michigan and Jackson, Mississippi, Vice President Kamala Harris is leading efforts within the Biden administration to improve America's water infrastructure.
As part of President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure plan passed last year, $15 billion will go toward an effort to replace every lead water pipe in the country within 10 years. Vice President Harris says access to clean and safe water is a right.
I think we would all agree there is nothing about this that should be considered a luxury or an option.
The administration's plan also includes $5 billion to address lead paint, faucets, and fixtures in low-income houses. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The FDA proposing new guidelines that will ease restrictions on LGBTQ blood donations. Under the new rules, gay and bisexual men who are in monogamous relationships would be allowed to donate blood without having to abstain from intimacy beforehand, as regulations now call for. Dave Packer, ABC News.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Many Americans say they don't believe the news they get from mainstream media. Deborah Van Fleet has more now on how news organizations are working to build and rebuild the public's trust.
Randy Essex of the Detroit Free Press offers some explanations for this declining trust, starting with the role he feels conservative radio and television has played for a generation.
The rise of this clearly partisan media is a business model, and part of that model is to sow distrust of established sources of information, whether that be national media or the government. The statement essentially is, believe us, not them, we're on your side.
Essex says other factors include the consolidation in the radio industry, closing of hundreds of local newspapers, and the pervasiveness of social media. He believes even COVID contributed, with fear making people more susceptible to conspiracy theories. He calls rebuilding public trust in mainstream news a tremendous uphill battle and maintains that transparency and ethics are paramount. Essex adds that editors have an important role to play.
Top editors need to communicate with the public and explain the work that we're doing and counter unfounded criticism of it. When we make mistakes, we have to be transparent about that too. And we need to connect in person and be in the community when we can, because human beings are much more civil in person than they are on the internet.
Essex says the public has some responsibility too, including checking sources and being skeptical.
And the problem is that for a generation, a lot of people have been conditioned to not believe established organizations that are doing real news.
And Essex stresses that, ultimately, journalists show the public their worth through their work. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
Speaker Voss, I understand you don't have any children. Does that mean he's been possibly practicing
sex with
contraceptives?
What?
Or is he just less than a man? How do you go through the entire life three wives later and no chitlins?
Shooting blanks?
Perhaps.
Pull and pray.
Doubtful.
Not getting any.
Unlikely.
Unable to perform.
More likely.
Paying for it.
I hate to judge.
We don't judge here. We're the Devil's Advocate.
Listen to the Devil's Advocates live weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes, on the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 17, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows around 13, cloudy. Chance of flurries tomorrow, highs around 17. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 15.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
I think the worst thing that can happen is probably, you know, some exploding bottles.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained, this is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Overnight protests around the country, mostly peaceful, following the release of video showing Memphis police brutally beating Tyree Nichols, who died 3 days later. Tennessee State Representative Joe Towns Jr. praising the peaceful demonstrations overnight and calling for more in Memphis and elsewhere.
Protesters protested, and what we're calling for today is the same thing that happened last night, the calm of the protest.
Five black police officers have been fired and face murder charges in Nichols' death. A mass shooting in Beverly Crest, California, north of Beverly Hills this morning has left 7 shot, 3 dead. There have been no arrests. Reports of at least 166 people dying in a wave of cold weather sweeping Afghanistan. Federal prosecutors say that disgraced crypto executive Sam Bankman-Fried, facing charges of fraud and conspiracy after the collapse of his FTX crypto platform, has recently attempted to contact prospective witnesses in his criminal case. Prosecutors asked the judge to ban him from doing that. This is ABC News.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now, of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michaels trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michaels Corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jane Matinair is on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. And a reminder that if you miss any part of the today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And today, I know you're right on this, Jane, but today is the first day that you can start turning in your taxes. They're starting to accept if you want to get your tax refund. I don't know if I'll get a tax refund or not this year.
Really?
But we'll find out. But with that, we thought we maybe would talk a little bit more about what future taxes could potentially look like in the great state of Wisconsin. So Dr. Phil Rocco is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and this is his, I think, third time joining us on the show.
Threepeat? Is that a hat trick?
Threepeat. I like that. Yeah. So friend of the show, officially, I would say. And
all right.
I invited you on because back in election season, when the flat tax was just an idea that Tim Michaels kind of threw out there, and then the conservatives were very upset that people took him at his word. But it's not actually a plan. And now we actually do have a plan. But in the hypothetical stages, you wrote a guest article for Recombobulation Area about what a flat tax would do for most of us in Wisconsin. And it was great. It was very detailed. And now we actually have a plan that has been proposed that would take, I think, is it 3.25, a flat tax of 3.25%?
Right.
So
yeah, it would be a flat tax of 3.25%.
Which is pretty low.
Right. Yes.
Which is pretty low.
Like for comparison, like right now, the tax rates go from 3.45, I think, all the way up to 7.56% for the top bracket. So that's a lot of revenue disappearing overnight. And the thing that was interesting was that when we wrote that piece back in the fall, like there were two different versions of the flat tax that were sort of floating out there. One of them was a flat tax with a slightly higher rate, mm-hmm. which meant that, some people's taxes would in fact go up. Lower income folks' taxes would go up, but you wouldn't have, as much revenue disappearing. The other option was this kind of flat tax, which just brings down the top rates to the lowest, or in this case, below the lowest rate. And what it means in practical terms is two things. One is that it can only be described as sort of like a bonanza for people at the top part of the income distribution. So the richest 1.4% of taxpayers under this proposal get one third of the total kind of benefits, right? In monetary terms.
And how many people does that end up being? Is that just like,
I mean, one.
So it's 1% of our population?
Right. That's, it's a pretty small number. So, I mean, I think, just a pretty small number of taxpayers.
And do we know what threshold of how much those people are making?
So that's the 1.4%. That's people making 500,000 and over.
Okay.
Right. So they're going to see, that 1.4% is going to see about a one third of the tax breaks. The 70% of the taxpayers are going to receive only about 17.8% of the total tax cut. So, I mean, in practical terms, this is not going to be, there's going to be like a few movies and maybe dinner, per year for most filers. But for the people at the top of the income distribution, it's like a windfall. It's a lot. So that's the first thing, just in terms of like, the rates, are going to seem like they come down, right? But in reality, most of the benefit is concentrated at the very top of the income distribution. The other thing, and we can talk about this more maybe after the break, is that it's not just who the tax cuts are going to. It's also the fact that every year when this is fully implemented, over $5 billion in revenue is just going to disappear. And if you put that in practical terms, it means that you could cut something like, the entire UW system budget and all funding for corrections, and you would still need to cut more in order to account for that. And you can do all kinds of comparisons, like it's more than four times all state K-12 spending, more than four times like the state and local shared revenue to local governments. Like, it's a lot of money.
Also basically almost as much as our surplus is right now.
Yeah. I mean, so this idea is like the surplus is going to maybe like hide the effects of this for like a year. But then once it's fully implemented, it's a lot of revenue going out the door very, very quickly in a way that would be very dramatically would result in some dramatic negative economic effects for the state, which we can talk about. But the idea that LeMahieu and Republicans are kind of pushing here is that like the surplus means that we're overtaxed. But the surplus is really sort of like a one-time perfect storm because of a variety of different trends. It's not like part of a bigger trend. So what that means is that once that surplus is gone, this is going to be a dramatic reduction in or require a dramatic reduction in state spending. Or alternatively, they could just raise, the sales tax, but they'd have to raise it a lot in order to make up the difference, which is, a regressive tax, a tax that's mm-hmm. going to fall mostly on working class, middle class folks. So, there's a lot of different ways to like project the future and like how this could work out. But the bottom line is distributionally for most people, this is going to mean not a lot of savings in terms of taxes and potentially huge cuts to vital services that people have come to rely on.
Phil, just a couple things. First of all, I can't be the only person who just lies awake at night, tossing and turning, worried that the wealthiest 1.4% in Wisconsin are struggling to buy a third vacation home. It's so painful, and I've lost so much sleep. But additionally, a couple of years ago, didn't they try this, something like this, in Kansas? And they essentially broke Kansas?
Yes, this is what was called the Kansas experiment, right? What Governor Sam Brownback at the time described as an adrenaline shot in the heart of the Kansas economy. And it was the largest tax cut they'd ever seen in Kansas. It brought down the top rate from like 6.4% down to 4.9%. So that the wealthiest people were paying basically the same marginal rate as the middle class. And the idea was that plus a bunch of different other things, we're going to generate all of this new investment in Kansas. Employers were going to start setting up shop there. You're going to see this huge kind of multiplier effect. In fact, the reverse happened, right? So what that meant was that the state had to slash spending in fairly exorbitant ways, right? Cutting money for highways, cutting money for the state Medicaid program, cutting money for schools, like so that janitors and librarians couldn't get hired. And what that did was it reduced all of the sort of like economic multiplier effect that government spending has. So like when government spends, it means that people have contracts, private contractors who do business with the government get hired. But there are all of these sort of attendant knock-on effects of government spending. And as a result, when you simply cut, Kansas cut a great deal, it basically meant that it couldn't fund a lot of these programs. And actually, it made it much sort of less attractive to come into the state because the state just wasn't offering a lot of services. So population growth kind of flattened out. And then by any sort of like any economic indicator, job growth, economic development or investment, the state just started tanking. And so by August 2014, S&P downgraded the state's credit rating. Like it was an economic disaster of unmitigated proportions that ultimately like led to Sam Brownback, who was once, I think, seen as a kind of potential presidential contender. It was a disgrace for him, and he sort of like left public life.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And so it's really hard to overstate just like what a just political and economic disaster was. And then guess what? They ended up repealing it because it was such a disaster.
So we're talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the proposed flat tax in Wisconsin. And has anyone ran that Kansas story by Lamahieu and Voss and been like, hey, how would we make it not, how would we avoid being like Kansas?
Well, there's this like alternative, like this like a speculative fiction universe of like what people say the whole Kansas experiment was really about. Like, so there's a whole like literature, like literature that like comes from conservative think tanks. It's like, no, it actually wasn't, the tax cuts that caused all of these things. And they point to like any number of like a concatenation of other factors. Like, well, it must have been something else, right? But when you look at Kansas and you can just do the comparison to all of its neighboring states, that all of the different things that people suggest were going on in Kansas, they were also going on in those neighboring states. And what happened was like none of those neighboring states faced essentially the economic cliff that Kansas did. And so it's really hard to conclude that it's not the, you know, this Kansas experiment. But the thing is, it's really inconvenient for them to talk about this. I mean, it's because it's a really great example of just what it means to get rid of. So like the argument that I think is being made is that like a lot of this spending that's going on is like wasteful, right? And that like it's not a big deal to cut over $5 billion a year because there's so much waste. But the reality is like waste or, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse, like, is a really, really small percentage, right? If you were able to like calculate it, it's like really small percentage of what government actually does. And most of what government does is actually help to stimulate economic growth in the, you know, a variety of regions in the state. And so when you just, I think people can't actually conceptualize what that scale of cuts means for their everyday life, for the highways, right? You think about like the worst highway you've ever driven on in Wisconsin and imagine it getting perpetually worse. Like that's what $5 billion a year in outflow of revenue, you know, will make happen. Alternatively, you know, it's like a sale, potentially like that spending cuts plus a prohibitively high sales tax for a lot of people. So the argument I think that is getting made is that like that somehow this is going to induce population growth in the state and that it's actually like the progressivity of the tax code that's inhibiting that. The thing I would point to is that the projected population growth for Minnesota, more progressive tax code, is 12% out to 2040. Wisconsin's is already only 3% projected population growth out to 2040. There's no way on earth that, you know, what's going on here or what might be going on here is a, you know, a population surge as a result of a flat tax. There's, you know, it just, it defies the most basic common sense to make that argument.
And we can keep talking about it after the break because we only have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to the commercial, but it's also because I hear this a lot, and you think of like the states that are growing fastest, a lot of them do have like sometimes no income tax, Texas, Florida. They're also, I always say this, they're also a lot warmer than us, but I think that's so interesting to compare it to Minnesota, who's arguably colder than us, and you got to be like a Vikings fan, but you know, and the fact that I didn't know that discrepancy as far as what their population trend has been, despite it being a much more, it's in the last 12, 13 years, like the discrepancy between policies and how much they've been different with all things being the same as far as weather, climate, culture. And so we'll talk more about that when we get back.
But yeah, also, absolutely.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways I wanted to go with this, and we'll only have you for 8 minutes. So we'll just have to have you back, but stay with us. Dr. Phil Rocco is here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed and a chance to double your tax refund. Thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
Thank you for listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with snow likely. High temperatures reach up to 17. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows level off around 13. Cloudy. Chance of flurries tomorrow. Highs level off around 17. Partly cloudy. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 16.
News and talk up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Dr. Phil Rocco, who is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, about the potential implications of a Wisconsin flat tax, which the current proposal sits at 3.25%, and what that could mean for Wisconsin. And this isn't even before the flat tax. Since I've moved home or moved back, there's been conversations around no income tax and what that could do. And there are some states, what is there, like 9 in total that have no income tax? But I think of, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, I think Alaska, maybe Wyoming. But some of the states that can generate enough revenue otherwise to function without having an income tax. So what it kind of has to be in place, as far as you understand it, for a low to no income tax to work in a state?
Yeah. So like some states have deposits of natural resources that they can have franchise taxes on, right? I think about Alaska, you know, out west, there are states that just have a naturally occurring resource that you can sort of tax and generate revenue off of that. Okay. Other states have booming industries that bring in people who don't live in the state as tourists frequently, and you can use sales taxes much more effectively there because, you know, you have such a kind of booming tourist industry in dollar terms, right? So what ultimately you have to do if you don't want to have an income tax is like one option is you have to have some other sort of resource there. It's like a special tax that you can just leverage. The other thing you could do is create a really regressive tax code, right? That where you're relying on taxes that mainly fall on people who are poor, or, you know, working class, middle class folks, rely more heavily on property tax, which is something that states, you know, used to do. Wisconsin was one of the big pioneers in the early 20th century in 1911 in really moving the state to a progressive income tax because property is so hard to effectively and efficiently tax without, you know, a measure of corruption kind of getting involved there. So that was the big complaint about in the 19th century. It's really easy to hide property value and property wealth, especially back then. The other thing that you can do is just like slash services and just like, you know, make government a lot less effective at doing the things we expected to do. And that's something that you definitely see in states that don't have kind of effective income tax regimes. But I think the thing that ultimately, you know, is sort of happening in Wisconsin is, you know, essentially every time the state cuts taxes, and by the way, we are already at the lowest level of tax collection, lowest rate of tax collection on record, right? That's how much taxes have come down since the 1990s. Like it is, we have really sucked out a lot of revenue in the state. And what that means, it's not like the demand goes away. It just means that either we're saying, you know, that we're not going to meet that demand, or we're pushing off the responsibility onto other levels of government, like local governments, or which is why you see so many bond measures and millage increases in school districts now, right? Because there's still demand. We still have to pay for things.
Yeah.
Unless you just want, you know, the basic services that we expect as a society just fall apart. And it's also, I think, why governments are in such a, local governments are in such a difficult position right now, an increasingly impossible one. And so like, that's the sort of bigger picture here. It's like, you know, it's easy to say, or easy to sort of have this concept, like we're going to, you know, decrease taxes, step three, profit, right? The South Park, underwear gnomes. But I think the bigger thing is that like the population trends in Wisconsin are really emblematic of population trends across the country. Like, people are moving from colder to warmer climates. Mm-hmm. That is not about taxes.
Yep.
Right. But then you look at Minnesota and it's like, why are people moving to that cold state, which in many cases is like colder than here, yeah, even, and less so to Wisconsin. And I think one of the really important answers is that you have economic policies that have led to the growth of a thriving, you know, metropolitan region in the Twin Cities, whereas Wisconsin is really disinvested from the economic power, you know, potential economic powerhouses of the state. And I think about the UW system as like one big place that when you cut the UW system, you are cutting an engine of economic growth for the state. That's what you're doing. You can say that you are, you know, sticking it to, you know, quote unquote, like liberal professors and elites and so forth. But what you're doing is you're screwing over the economy of the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, what this all obviously comes down to what will be months from now, the final budget. But it feels like this would be a non-starter as far as something that Governor Evers would sign. But do you think that there's any room for any kind of flat tax, even if it was a little bit higher? Or do you think this is dead in the water?
No, I think this is based. It would be hard to say that this is not, you know, dead in the water. The question is, you know, how much, you know, how much do Republicans want to like press the issue and extend budget negotiations and go to the mats over this, right? Yeah. How long do they want the budget fight effectively to be? And I think, you know, one thing that is going to be interesting is how the narrative about the flat tax kind of spins out there. I think the thing that Republicans, the sort of advantage this sort of accrues to them in debates like this is that like not much information gets out there about what the flat tax is, because people are like, oh, it's a flat tax. It's simpler. It's, you know, easier. But the way of describing it is, this is not a tax cut. This is a change in the way that we're using the power of government to distribute costs and benefits in society. And what this is going to do is redistribute benefits to the top income bracket in the state. And what it's going to mean for the rest of us is, you know, how are we going to fund highway construction? How are we going to fund schools? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do all the things that we need to do? And, you know, maybe you get like 200 additional bucks, you know, if you're at the right part of the income distribution, and like
that you're probably, you know, going to be spending on a sales tax anyways.
Yeah,
exactly. It'll just go immediately to the increases
or by the way, taxes. Property taxes, which continue to go up, right? Somebody pays somewhere.
Exactly. All right. Well, Dr. Phil Rocco, thank you so much for joining us and breaking this down for us. I told at the break, I said, that Kansas story is really something. And so maybe a little bit more noise about that, I think, would be good.
But wild.
We will have you back soon. Thank you so much for your time, sir. And have a great
day. Be with you, as ever.
All right. Take care. We are going to go to the top of the hour news, and when we come back, thanks again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sucker, I ain't one. From now on, I'm keeping my pay. Ain't going to need a gun. So put your 1044 where the sun don't shine. Straighten out your own damn mess. You can ride.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online chat can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.